Hello, Andrew Richardson here, and welcome to our third audio of the Action Suite of Audios. And this is about your resources, your strengths and capacities that need to be activated and perhaps enhanced, and certainly in good working order, so that they can be well used in the service of a life that works, where your essential needs are being well met and in the right kind of balance. Now, this audio is quite long, close to 40 minutes, and so allow time to be quiet and to listen to it, and not ever while driving. Now, a good place to start is to review what has been the most useful part of this depression recovery program. What has become clearer for you in your situation and in your strengths? And what still seems to be a problem in your environment and the existing triggers and patterns, or something else? And how much has this program helped? Was it to find hope, that imbibing of a profound truth of what is the nature of your depression and how it is intimately linked to your sleep and your dreaming? Do you now know that your depression is not some terrible visitation? And neither is it a complicated and terrifying illness that you have to leave to the experts and just hope for the best? Or was it the firefighting lessons, which were about distraction, being patient, very important, and testing the dreaming hypothesis, that was about worrying less, taking small steps, and then noticing that as your rumination and worries declined, you began to feel a little better? Or was it trauma release? Is your limbic system calmer now? That is, the uncontrollable flight or fight. Are you no longer at the beck and call of powerful emotions based on memories that you wish you could let go? Was the trauma release a breakthrough for you? Might there be more to be done? Or was it experiencing being relaxed, practicing hard and building up your capacity to be calmer, and so hearing what your emotions are saying? And as your arousal goes down, what is different now? Where are there now solutions? And where are there still problems? Or was it clearing patterns, those aha moments, when the detritus of old patterns and strategies and triggers began to be cleared in a virtuous cycle and away from the previous depression vicious cycle? And I wonder, might there be more you can do there? And your essential emotional needs, are you understanding these better? Recall, it's about being safe, then emotional control, which flows into relationships and work, and then onto meaning and purpose. Because this then leads to action and problem solving, as you chunk down and discover what you might now do to move you towards the right-hand side of the Q5 needs audit questionnaire. Do you remember that? And so what are you finding as you see your life in this new way? Now, we all have different mixes of needs that we need to get met, but we all have lots in common too, as we strive to build our resilience as protection if something goes wrong. And we are learning now to bend as the wind blows, but not to break. And here are a couple of more questions for you to ponder. Might there be some secondary gain in the mix, that you found it safer to hold on to your depression in case of something worse and to keep those close to you staying close? Now, this is a tough question to ask, but in the privacy of this audio, you can ask it of yourself now. Knowing that as your confidence returns and meaningful goals can be set, you can let go of secondary gain as well. And finally, what are the challenging emotional responses and behaviours that still remain? What is left? What still remains dark? Okay, we will leave that now and look at your resources, as I have been taught to do so by my human givens teachers. The great metaphor they use is to see our emotions as a guidance system that guides you always to make practical and achievable changes in your life. And this guidance system is either working well or less well. We're talking here about your resources. Together with your essential needs, your resources are your human givens, what defines you and molds you as the human being you are. Your resources have evolved over countless generations, and then your unique life experiences has augmented, shaped, and of course perhaps damaged their effectiveness to some degree. Well, one incredibly important resource is your imagination. The sight and feel of better futures could be the motivation which will enable you to realize these better futures. So just let your mind wander free for a moment. Where would you like to be in, say, a year's time? Or less than that? Or a little more? How would it look? And how would it feel? See yourself there. What are you wearing? How are you conducting yourself? And who is with you? And how are they reacting to you? Are they impressed or pleased? And where are you? See something clearly. Imagine something clearly. Can you touch it? And how might you reach it? Or it could be that for you it is the fears of a bad future that could motivate you away in the opposite direction. Or there could be a time or a period in your past, either very good or very bad, that can move you towards something good or again away from something you would rather avoid. Just stay with whatever comes up. And know that this could be the very power you are looking for to move you. And from this you will see the outline of a path to travel on. We will be coming back to all of this later. And now your conscious, rational mind. That allows you to find the best solutions to your problems. What could you tell a friend to do if they were in your situation? That's a good question to ask. What is the best rational advice you could give your friend? And so you could give it to you too. And what would a close friend be advising you right now? And there is your ability to know intuitively. We all understand the infinite variety of the world by seeing it as being like something else. And this like is stored as a pattern in our unconscious memory bank. And as we make connection with this pattern, an emotion will arise to communicate to us, intuitively, if you like that word, so that we can make sense of it. And you can just begin to open to these feelings and to recognize them and to see if you can catch the pattern match, like the essence of a tantalizingly beautiful scent. And you can do your best when you are relaxed and calm, like now. Then your emotions can really speak to you. And you have complex long-term memory. and your capacity to undertake complex tasks is enormous. And what of your ability to empathize and connect with others? It just happens automatically. Your mirror neurons connecting with and feeding back from all who cross your path. There is a complex dance as facial expressions and bodies react and lead, and it is this barely recognizable dance that keeps you connected to others for work, for play, attention, intimacy, and just connection, whether fleeting and sudden or long-lasting and deep. And be thankful, for this gift is keeping you alive. And you can, if you choose, step back or above yourself and move into your observing self. Imagine, it is just like stepping outside yourself and looking on, to be that part of you that is aware of itself as a unique center of awareness. In your observing self, you will see your situation more calmly and in a more detached manner, and so find different perspectives and solutions. How could you look at your situation differently now? How would it be if you stood a mile away, or at the top of a mountain, or from a different future a year from now, or a past time of a year ago? How would it look? And of course, as you now know very well, we all dream, even if we cannot remember our dreams. That dreaming keeps our emotions working well by allowing us to let go of the emotions that come at that day and are still there, unresolved and festering away. Dreaming dissolves the emotion as a circle is completed by acting the emotion out in our dreaming imagination. And so, as you observe your emotions now, some strong, or weak, or positive, or dissatisfied, you can choose to take comfort from the knowledge of your innate and extensive capacities and resources, even if they may appear to be hidden from you at this time. And at the end of the day, the most important resource of those listed that you can develop to build self-confidence is to be more in control of and aware of your emotions so that you can use them properly. And this has been a persistent theme of this depression recovery program, hasn't it? Have those wonderful emotions of sadness and anger and worry and fear and disappointment and guilt and determination and joy and satisfaction working for you. Learn to tame and befriend the tiger of your emotions, and then you can ride the tiger in the direction that your guidance system knows is the way that you should go. Your emotions are your greatest gift to get your essential needs met, and also the route to make the changes in your life that you yearn for, and so build self-confidence and a life that works. And the first thing to do is to access calmer emotional states and gain awareness of your emotions and what they could be communicating to you, taming the tiger. And having released trauma, and having used relax and clearing patterns, you are now ready for the next stage, and this is to uncover and refurnish the emotional patterns and triggers, befriending the tiger, and so to ride the tiger in the right direction. To have that intention, and then to trust. And the clue is not to tackle this head on. So just as you might buy a gift for someone to disarm or to flatter and cajole rather than to come right out with it, so you can begin by being kinder to your whole self. After all, your emotions manifest somewhere or other in your body. And for some of us, a strong emotion might be a fear or a spreading tension that is located in our belly. For others, it is a tightness in our jaw or chest. And for others, emotions manifest as a lightness or a heaviness inside our head or on our shoulders or our arms or legs. And so to be kinder to your body is to treat your emotions as you would an honored guest who came to your house. What small steps could you take to look after yourself a little better? What might your body need now to gain sustenance? You could eat a little healthier, because you know it's good for you. Take some raw or nearly raw vegetables. Spend time cooking good meals with natural ingredients and cut down on heavily processed foods. Drink water or juice. These are just small things. Or take a little more exercise. What could you do today or tomorrow? Walk somewhere new rather than take a car. Visit a park or a lake or a river or a stream. Or just take time to walk down the street. And if you have gym membership or sports membership, then make use of it, but in a different way. And what do I mean by this? Well, go at a different time of the day or week with new people and build a different expectation of what might be there that you could experience. And find small pleasures. Have a little bit of fun, think about them, and anticipate and plan. Laughing, meeting new people, doing something different with old friends, really enjoying a TV program or a treat. Take some time over the planning and implementing of these little treats. You could be creating little bits of ceremony and specialness. And as you do these kind of things and imagine doing these kind of things, you're doing something different, and you can wonder to yourself why it will help you. And what might you notice after a day or so of being kinder to yourself? Is the intention manifesting? You could be noticing an openness to relax or fully engage your mind in something that is important to you at that moment. And you might find that you are sleeping better or feeling just a little healthier and having just a little more energy. So as you sit back or lie back and notice feelings that could be feelings of relaxation, think about what it is in your life that you are most proud of. It could be your children, if you have them, or a relationship, or an achievement or a skill you have developed, or something residing in a special memory. What is it that you are most proud of? What are your qualifications as a graduate or a teacher or in business or a profession or as a mother or a friend or a father, as a gardener or a handyman? And do you have a piece of paper that states your qualification, or does your qualification come from your experience of life? It really doesn't matter. And what have you enjoyed in your life, even if it was a long time ago, such as holidays, walking, relaxing and exploring with friends or strangers, laughing, dancing, sightseeing, being curious? And what are your passions? And that which draws you to them. Sometimes these can be very clear for you. A love of nature and the outdoors, a certain kind of music, or activities such as fixing things or discovering how things work? Are there ideas and readings that have entranced you? Some of you will have a sense of connection to something bigger than yourselves. This is what could be called the heart of spirituality. Or you may have to search a little. Is there a story or experience from your childhood which still touches you and may have influenced you ever since? What did you enjoy at school? And if you think about the activities and careers you engage in, well, I like to see this in terms of four quadrants. So imagine yourself standing at the center of a circle, and then you can look and move in an anti-clockwise direction round that circle. Well, in one quadrant of that circle, as you look out, there is activity and business and achieving things and markets and money and buzz and excitement. And next to this, as you move round, I'm imagining that it is in an anti-clockwise direction. There is administering, running things and enforcing things, and towards teaching, communicating and influencing. And then next, in the next quadrant, you're moving towards learning and discovering and knowing and knowledge and books and being curious. And these merge into helping and caring and healing and protecting. And then in the last quadrant, before you return back to the first, there is creativity, painting, composing, writing, exploring, and creating metaphors. Well, what else? What work have you done and been paid for or given of yourself as a gift? Have you opened yourself to trust and love, or to have been loved? What you must do is to stay with whatever is good that comes up for you, however small or surprising or familiar. And what you are doing as you focus on the good and the memorable, you are building up a bank account of good and useful memories and emotions. And the amazing thing is that you can draw on these good emotions, and as you do, know that they never run down and they just grow and grow and grow. And what are the qualities that you have that you like the most about yourself, or have helped you the most? Because we all have qualities or virtues. That is a wonderful word, virtues. And we know it if we just allow ourselves to. And I have known people who are amazed with what comes up for them now. There can be kindness, honesty, determination, creativity, being able to care, a sense of fun, of wit, of gentleness, of justice, of loyalty and community. And whatever you are finding for yourself now is also adding to that pool of memories and positive emotions that you have already banked, and that you can use whenever you wish. And as your mind begins to see parts of your daily life differently, not fixed, that's something you can change and discover what you could be doing even better today that could change something, you could have a sense of dominoes beginning to fall. one after another, that will take you to places that you had scarcely dreamt about just a few minutes ago. And all of a sudden, or perhaps very slowly, it will dawn on you that you are beginning to befriend the tiger of your emotions. And when we are low or confused or stuck or angry or grieving, we will have a fixed way of viewing our situation, which often will make the problem larger, more intractable, more permanent than it needs to be, and keep us highly aroused. So change your point of view, like moving your chair to another part of the room so the view is different. It is amazing what you can do without actually trying that hard. The trick is to imagine a way to see what is dominating you as either not so important or temporary in some way, or that there is a change underway and it is not fixed, or that you are learning something from the experience. Let me give you some examples. Right now, I'm still looking for a better way to study, to work, to meet people, you could say. Or, I'm learning a lot and this will help me when I am ready. Or, I have really done well so far and know I will continue to learn and move. Or, when I think back a year ago, so much has actually changed. It will be interesting to see what happens that is different over the next year. Or, now that I realize that change is always with me, it is a source of comfort in a strange kind of way. This too will pass. Or, sometimes I find it easier to focus on the strong emotion and miss all the good that I have achieved. Or, how would I be feeling if I saw my situation differently, and if I did see it this way, what else might change? Are you beginning to see aspects of your life differently? Or could you? And by doing so, how would it be helping you in some way? And it is really helpful to see your current concerns and difficulties as the response to a stressor in your life and a situation where you are not getting an essential need met, and so avoid at all costs the trap of blaming yourself. This is really important. And as we have seen, humans are unique in that they can be aware of their feelings and not just be in their feelings. And the emotions you don't like and that you instinctively are pushing away, anxieties, rages, resentments and grieving, could be your mind-body communication that you need to take action to get an essential need met, or you will continue to suffer. And your unconscious intelligence instinctively knows what you need, and your unconscious normally communicates this by creating the emotion, which is the energy or the emotion and movement towards getting that need met. So embrace and welcome the emotion. Then give the emotion a name and ask whether this emotion is guiding you or not to getting your needs met, or is dangerous and excessive and unhelpful. And be aware if you are blaming yourself for it, that you are mean or unlovable or unworthy or have anger issues, whatever that means, and all that kind of stuff. Because how will that help you? When I think about it, it's not surprising that I feel this way. Anybody would, if they had been through what I have been through, you could say. And I knew somebody once who had been told as a child by her parents in all sorts of ways that she was useless and that no one would ever want to help her. And so when she realized that her first husband was cruel and selfish, she blamed herself. And when she found that her business was struggling, she could not ask for help. and this was all her fault too. And it took her time to change this point of view so that she could see her relationships with men as either helping her or not, and working or not, and that by opening to all the people who liked and responded to her, that she could have a business that made money and fulfilled her. We can all see our situation differently, and one thing you can begin to do right now is to practice seeing those aspects of your present, past, and future that you don't like as different. Go to the bank and draw on your savings of good memories and strengths to help you. And practice this now. So remind yourself of a situation in your past, of an encounter perhaps that you would like to feel better about. Picture it now. Really see it, or feel it, or just have a sense of it. What details are there for you? Is there a location or a feeling or a narrative, like a video clip? And now, cut and paste. Change one thing about the experience, anything at all, and allow yourself to feel differently about it. Stronger, more protected, happier. And you could even now fast forward to another similar situation and change that. Or notice that as you recall it, that there is a softening of it, of its own accord, and it is just a little different. And as you observe your emotions now, some strong or weak, or positive or dissatisfied, as these emotions appear to you now, you can choose to take comfort from the knowledge of your innate and extensive capacities and resources, and they are now emerging from their hiding places. And as you do this, you'll be able to notice when the emotions you don't want are stronger or weaker or absent, and what are the thoughts or events or situations which trigger them. By being kinder to yourself in all kinds of ways, and you are learning to give your emotions a more comfortable place to inhabit. And you have begun to listen to what your emotions are saying, and if you choose to change the emotions and their triggers, and then you can ride the tiger in the direction of where you want to go. To use your imagination in the service of meeting essential needs. And in the final audio of this series, Goals and Rehearsals, you can learn how to set the right goals and how to meet them. And you can set goals now from increasing self-confidence and control over your emotions and memories, and accessing the memories and emotions of your past that will really help you. This is your savings account, unlimited and deep, more like an ocean, really. The Sufis have a story of a bird that was kept in a cage, and the bird was looked after well by her owner. He fed her and kept her warm, and her cage was close by a large window. So the bird had plenty of time and light during the long days while the owner went to work. And still she was trapped, and every day the bird could see other birds flying free across the sky, and the bird longed to join them. And then one day the owner went to work, leaving both the cage door and the window open. And very soon, the bird gingerly hopped out of the cage and onto the window ledge. and from this vantage point she could see so much more. She could see distant mountains and valleys. And when the bird looked down, she could see more of the hustle and bustle of what lay before her and all around her. And there were so many other birds and people and all kinds of things. And the bird just stayed on the ledge, stupefied and amazed and dazed, and stayed and stayed and stayed. And the bird was still there when her owner arrived home. So he locked the bird up back in her cage, where she was again fed and looked after. You can now move away from that ledge at just the pace you wish, and in fact you could just circle around for a day or two, or a number of days, knowing that the next day you would be free to go just a little bit further. In a moment, I will count back down from 5 to 1 so that you can slowly begin to become alert and aware. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Thank you. This has been a long audio covering a lot of ground and in some ways repeating what you will have found elsewhere in this program. Well, there is no harm in that. And do listen to this audio again. Thank you.